You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 7, Episode 35 coming your way this week. It's Kieran Burke and I'm delighted to say once again it's Gary Riley back from the continent, back from Germany. How was the trip, Gaz?
Yeah, very good. Three good games. Kaiserslautern and Stuttgart were very good. Bayern was alright. Bit boring. Wouldn't really recommend it unless you want to go and see the stadium, which is class. But yeah, it was grand. Kaiserslautern in particular was great crack, and Stuttgart as well. So if you're around that part of the world, do try and get going to a game.
Very good. Did you get a few curry varsh and a few pints in?
Did, yeah, a bit of both. Lots of kebabs as well. So very happy with the return across the week.
Is curry varsh a big thing in Germany? I know in Austria when I went to Vienna for the Ireland game, it was huge. Is it big in Germany as well?
Yeah, I think it comes from Germany.
I thought it was an Austrian thing. It was the first time I'd come across it. It was unbelievable in Vienna. I was living off it for the week.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we got a few of them. But yeah, no, just grand eating. One thing that they're brutal at doing is coffee.
Is that right?
Oh, Jesus, yeah. They don't know what they're at. But yeah, no, good trains, good travelling around the place. Very reliable.
Good. Have they got good ticketing systems?
They do have good ticketing systems, actually. Yeah, very handy to get tickets and get into where you need to go. And and it was actually stuff for sale in the stadium. Like, they weren't going like,
wow, oh, they actually wanted to make money.
Yeah. Oh. They weren't like, all our stuff is actually sold out and we didn't know you were coming and all the rest of the other shite you do here in the Aviva all the time. But unfortunately, that's what we have to deal with here. But no, in all the stadiums that we were at was very, very good. Good staff, very easy to get around. You know, even like all the tickets cover your travel, except for Bayern. So like, if you have a match ticket, your local travel is free, and you know, help you get around the place and get out to the stadium and all of that. So. Very great setup.
Very good. I'm sure. Look, we're on our travels again this week. We're out to the Algarve for the Ireland game.
To Portugal. Yeah. Looking forward to that as well.
Thunderstorms predicted
out there.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. No. The weather was class. Actually, in Germany, it was very warm. No rain or anything like that, which was great. But yeah, well, look, hopefully there won't be any other, you know, metaphorical thunderstorms in Portugal, and we just go and get 3 points. 6 points from the next two games is what's required, so we'll see how we get on when we're chatting next week.
Yeah, look, we'll talk Ireland a little bit later on. As I said, we'll talk about the FAI ticket final fiasco of yesterday as well, but let's, before any of that, let me just say, as ever, we're brought to you by our main sponsor, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. I think, Anthony, is it squeaky bum time for that loan, Gaz?
Yeah, it's not great. Poor result on Friday. Yeah, just not great at the moment. But it look, it's where did I think they're still in the playoffs at the minute. So unless unless some of this big new investment in treaty can make a difference in the next 2 weeks, I'm not sure it can. But
Jesus, where did that come out? We definitely didn't see that coming. We'll talk about that a bit later on as well. But afternoon, evening to Anthony and all the Quinn AV team who continue to support us. We were due to have a guest joining us on this week's show, but due to a family emergency, he's had to pull out, unfortunately. So it's just me and Gaz tonight. But there is an awful lot to get through. As I said, we've got the FAI Cup to talk about. We've got the First Division playoff race. We've got there was a couple of big games in the Premier Division on Friday. I was commentating on Drogs and Derry. Just as I didn't want Gaz, as we talked about on the show last week, a 0-0 draw, but that's what it was. But no, there's an awful lot to get through. So despite the fact we have no guests with us this week, it's going to be a good show, I think. So look, we'll start with the FAI Cup semi-finals on the pitch, first of all. And we'll start with the game that was on the Saturday. That was Galway against Bowes at a packed out game in DC Park. Great to see. And it was Bowes to come out on top by a Dylan Connolly goal to nil. But it was, again, Afolabi, all his hard work and the lead up to the goal was absolutely key.
Yeah, absolutely. Great work by Afolabi. Kind of dug it out over in the corner and bet the defender. Got across to Connolly, who probably hasn't...
That's probably his biggest moment since he came back to the league.
Yeah, I'd say so. And by a good journey, I'd say he hasn't had the impact he would have liked. Same about anybody else around Bowes. But look, he got the goal in the semi-final, and that's all that matters. See, they're on the way to the Aviva now. So, look, it was an interesting game. Obviously, I didn't get seen it myself, but by all accounts, the performance by the referee kind of took over a lot of the commentary around the game. But look, that's part of it. That's the way it goes. Good to see him at DC Park filled out, and Bowes head to the final, which is what we kind of expected.
Yeah, as you said, we got an awful lot of tweets about the referee in this game, Casper Rakowski's red card. But in the end, I think most Galway fans will admit that they simply, I wouldn't say they didn't turn up, but I think a lot of people were obviously taken back by that Dundalk result in the cup, and they thought that Galway would give Bowes a real game. And look, they did give them a game because it only ended 1-0, but they never really laid a glove on Bowes in this one. They didn't really look like scoring Galway unless they scored from a set piece or something. I think Bowes, that was obviously the big concern from a Bowes point of view going into this one, how they deal with the high balls that they knew were going to come from Galway. But bar one or two flappy moments from Talbot, I think he did all right. He was fairly unharmed. But yeah, Galway just... Again, I wouldn't say not at the races, but I think this is a greater indication of what we'll see from Galway in the Premier Division next season, unless there's a good bit of movement in the off-season. I do think they're lacking in very top quality. They've been an excellent First Division team, and as we saw, if someone goes up to him in DC Park and doesn't respect them the way Galway or the way Dundalk did, they've got the quality to tear you apart. But I think this is probably an indication of what we'll see from Galway next year. They're going to be trying to cling into a lot of games.
Yeah, well, that's part of life as a promoted team. It's going to be hard to carve out chances, especially when you're maintaining a lot of players from your First Division season. Of course, like, this probably isn't the most basic First Division winning team either. They've been very, obviously very good, winning most of their games this season. So, you know, they'll probably do a bit better than we'll say how Cork have done in their return to the Premier Division football. But look, it was always going to be a bit of an uphill task, particularly, you know, with Galway doing such a job on Dundalk. Bowes were probably a bit more wise to how they play. There was a bit of last ditch defending. I think Afolabi, he hit the post early on as well. Like, you know, there were still chances created by Bowes. But look, the defending just left a bit to be desired for Afolabi, and he did well to cross it over to
Dylan Connolly.
But yeah, look, it's
there was obviously there was a big appeal for a penalty at the end of the game. Morgan and Cole weren't happy. I just didn't think there was enough in it. I think they're both pulling at each other. I didn't think it was a penalty. I thought Declan Devine's post-match interview was very classy. The first thing he done was pay credit to Galway on the season they've had in the game that they gave Bowes. And one thing I noticed post-match among the big pitch invasion, obviously, it was very notable. Keith Buckley wasn't getting involved in any of that. Walked straight off the pitch, pretty much. A lot of the Bowes players were obviously euphoric at the fact they'd reached a final. Some of these players are new to the camp. They wouldn't have been around in 2021 when they reached the final. So that's understandable. But I think Bucko, you know, obviously this is a big moment for him. Skipper wants to get his hands on that trophy and the big long trophy drought. He wasn't getting involved in any big post-match hysterics.
Yeah, I suppose he probably realises that, you know, the work is not done yet. It's great getting there and everything, but there was no need for any of that rubbish from the Bowes fans running onto the pitch like that. I thought, great, you're in a final, you've won nothing yet. But look,
That's why I hope within the dressing room, that's the message that kind of Keith Buckley is portraying as well. Look, lads, enjoy this evening, whatever, but heads down then and focus on the final, because we don't want to come away from the Aviva on the losing end of it again. So I think that's important. And I just hope, for the sake of Bose, and I don't think Declan Devine will let it happen, no cream suits, no... no, it wasn't cream suits. White runners.
Yeah.
As Roddy said, he knew they were gonna lose. As soon as that photo went live that morning, Roddy said they're losing that cup final.
Yeah,
he was spot on.
Absolutely, no woolly gloves or anything like that. So hopefully, they learn a few lessons from that a couple of years ago. It's not that long ago since they lost the Pats, but look, I think I know we're going to come on to Pats now. I think Pats still have the edge on them.
Yeah, look, Bowes definitely deserving winners against Galway. Not a vintage display. And I'd say the same for Pats as well. I think particularly in the first half, Cork had a lot of chances in this game. Didn't take them. Pats were clinical. The second goal from Carty, who they've missed through injury over the last couple of weeks, was absolutely sublime. What a finish. What a bit of technique. But yeah, Pat's doing what they've been doing for the last number of months, and that's just grinding out results when maybe not playing overly well.
Yeah, that's right. They've been I was going to say clinical, but in a way they have been. They've been able to, as you said, drag out or pull goals out of places. So without playing overly well, as you said, so I think that's kind of probably why I'm feeling that Pats have the edge in the final. They've been quite solid at the back for large parts of the season. I think saw a statistic there that since Sean Daly have come in, Pats are up at the table. So that says a lot about the changes that John Daly has made. It's probably not, you know, oh my god, it's a brand new team playing a totally different side of football, but they've been more effective, scoring more goals and getting the points that they need. So look, I think that's, and even with, like as you said, not playing well, it's still an away game down in Turner's Cross. It's not a handy place to go to, as most people know. And I thought Rory Keaton, well, unfortunately, was kind of nearly the only man doing much for Cork, you know, and obviously in an attacking space. But I didn't see how Cork were going to get themselves back into the game. So I think it was always going to be where Pat's going to be able to get a second and, you know, keep themselves without having to worry about, you know, getting a late equaliser or going into extra time or anything like that. So look, they did what they needed to do. They'll be able to look forward to the final now, but I think Cork have bigger fish to fry in the league.
Playoffs, yeah. That brings us to the Bose Pats final, which we've already predicted or previewed on the pod a few weeks ago. We thought this would be the final, so we did a bit of a hypothetical preview. But for anyone that didn't hear that, has your views changed after watching the semi finals? I think you're still in the Pats camp here. Are you for the win?
Yeah. I think I just can't see why Pats won't win it. I think they'll have to play better. Like, I didn't think the game in the final in 2021 was,
I was just going to say
game.
That 2021, that the 90 minutes wasn't great. A bit of excitement and extra time. Game was lit up by Forrester. I was working the other day when these two semis were on, and I was watching bits and pieces, and I remember Forrester went down a couple of times, and I know he was subbed off, but I can't remember whether that was an injury concern or whether it was just a tactical sub. But obviously, if he wasn't fully fit on the day or anything like that, I would be a little bit more concerned about Pats. But if Forrester, and I think Carty as well, I've mentioned him a good few times on the pod this year, I think he just gives them such a presence up there. If they're fit and firing, then I think they will just have enough. But I'm expecting it to be probably similar enough to 2021, I think. I don't think Pats are playing phenomenally well at the moment. Bowes, when did I last see them? I saw them a few weeks ago. I think it was in Drogheda. Wasn't overly impressed with them at the time either. I think both teams they've got a bit of grit this year, haven't they? Like, Bowes, definitely Decky Devine's brought that bit of grit to them, particularly in the early part of the season when they were top of the league. We were talking about how they weren't playing that well, but they were top of the league and getting results. And I still think they've got that in them as well towards the end of the season. I know they're in that battle with Shells now for fourth, but I think they've maintained that grit throughout the year generally, and Pats have been the same. I know they've had a couple of disappointing results, like the defeat at home to Drogheda, but generally I think they're two teams that on a number of occasions this season they've pulled results out of the fire when maybe they haven't deserved to, and I just feel it mightn't be the most free-flowing and open final that you'll ever see.
No, probably not. And look, I think it'll be down to the defences to, you know, make the difference in the game, because it's probably going to be a cagey enough type of situation, particularly that if Bowes win or like they'll get into Europe. So, yeah. You know, it's going to be probably a bit of added pressure considering, like, when you think about Bowes and not close to Europe now, Pats are probably comfortable enough, are they? Let me just check the table. Sorry. Shelburne 3 points off, but Pats have a game in hand. Yeah, so let's say Pats are comfortably in Europe. There's going to be added pressure on Bowes to try and get into Europe and have another run like they did a couple of years ago. So I think there'll be added pressure on Bowes for that respect, and I think that could play on their minds as well. But from the final, I hope it's going to be a better 90 minutes. I know, as you said, it lit up after an injury or an extra time, and then with penalties, of course. But hopefully we get a better 90 minutes than what we got a couple of years ago. But
I think you're right, though. I think the defences will be key in this. Yeah. Bowes obviously are going to be without Radkowski, who's going to be suspended for the final. And I know Pats the other evening, I don't think Adam Murphy wasn't fit enough to start. I think they were missing a couple of players, Pats, and I know David Norman started the game at centre back, and I don't like to pick out individual players, but I would see him as a weak link in that defence. I think I remember him having quite a tough game against Longford in the cup earlier in the season. I've seen a bit of him on the TV in the Premier Division games. Obviously, he's got Redmond alongside him, who, if he's fit, like he's almost as good as two centre-backs. He's probably, probably arguably up there himself and Mark Connolly, the two best centre-backs in the league. But I just, there's definitely a little tad of vulnerability about both central defensive partnerships going into that cup final.
Yeah, there is. And that's going to be, as you said, going to be a key battleground. I don't think it's going to be that much free-flowing football, unfortunately, but look, I can just be hopeful that it's a bit better of a spectacle than a couple of years ago.
Yeah, let's hope everyone is fit and firing going into it, because a couple of years ago Georgie Kelly wasn't fully fit, so let's hope the likes of Afolabi and Forrest and all the big names you want to see fully at it on the day are there and ready to go. And yeah, let's hope it looks like it's going to be a good crowd after one day, despite all the ticketing issues yesterday. We're going to come on to now over 20,000 tickets sold, which, as far as I can remember, is unprecedented. But I'm hoping this is going to be a sellout. But the FAI and Ticketmaster, they will have absolutely no right to take any claim or credit for that if we do get our first Aviva Stadium Cup final sellout, because yesterday was a complete shambles.
Yeah, well, I wasn't really. I got a few texts about it, all right, but I didn't really look. I was away, so I didn't really care, to be quite honest. But yeah, no, another mess with pre-sales and can't do it, and it's just nonsense. Like, it's incredible how you know they just can't get it right.
Yeah, like I seen Dodge saying on Twitter again, going back to what we'd be talking about like stadium amenities at the Ireland games. No, yeah. we're trying to give you money. And yesterday you log on to Ticketmaster, and I'm going as a neutral, and any year I've gone as a neutral, I always buy a premium ticket, premium level. Okay. And I went to go and do that yesterday. I want to give you 70 quid because I'm buying two. Right. And there was there was two blocks open up in 5 or whatever. No premium for sale.
All right, okay.
I was like, I want to give you 70 euro right now. I have my card in my hand ready to put my details into Ticketmaster. I want to give you 70 euro, and I couldn't do it. So eventually, anyway, a couple of hours later, one premium block did open up, and it was near enough the halfway line. So I was happy enough just to take that. But like before, anyone at the FAI, oh, here go the BTS lads again, taking the hammer to the FAI. I've said in the last couple of seasons on this pod, credit to the FAI on making the... you can buy tickets for the FAI Cup final like very early. I think when the first round is announced, tickets go on sale. And I remember getting a link earlier in the season because I'm an Irish season ticket holder. There was a pre-sale link and I could get 10% off my FAI Cup tickets. And I actually did that last season. I went in, I bought my premium level ticket right bang on halfway. I was delighted. I just didn't do it this year for whatever reason. I said, ah, look, whatever.
You're too busy.
I think we might have been planning an away trip at the time. Money might have been tight or whatever. So I said, ah, look, leave it. And that, yeah. I regretted it yesterday that I hadn't gone in then and bought my premium just to take all the stress off yesterday. And I'm not even a Pats or a Bulls fan. And I was stressed about trying to get a cup final ticket yesterday. So imagine a supporter there that wants to be in the respective singing section or wants to be in the family section or whatever it may be. That was a complete shambles yesterday. And yeah, no one from the FAI has come out. They were all very quick to come out. I've seen lots of people involved in the FAI coming out. Oh, 20,000 tickets sold. Where was the statement to say, this is what happened, this is unacceptable, we're going to talk to Ticketmaster about this? And this happens almost every year, maybe not the complete shambles we had yesterday, but the whole thing of logging on for trying to get a cup final ticket and only little sections of the stadium open on Ticketmaster.
Yeah, has there been any indication as to why that's done like that?
You'd have to think they're just trying to sell the shitty seats first. That's... I know you. I think you had a similar issue. You wanted to go to an Ireland women's game in Talla, and you said there was a similar issue. Yeah, I think I remember you telling me that there was only one near the corner flag or something available, and then you turn on the telly and the stadium's empty.
Oh, that was a couple of years ago. I think that was in 2021. I think, I think about it.
So this does appear to be more of a Ticketmaster issue than an FAI issue. But at the same time, the FAI, this is their event, the cup final. This is your showpiece event. So I'd like to think there's conversations been had about with Ticketmaster that this isn't good enough.
Yeah, but look,
there's other ticketing partners out there. The likes of Future Ticket and obviously have vast associations with League of Ireland clubs. So if Ticketmaster aren't doing the business for you, you know, you're a commercial entity. The FAI, go with somebody else. This has been going on for years. It can't continue.
No, I can't. And look, I think probably the Ticketmaster piece is something to do with the Aviva Stadium and some type of exclusivity or some other rubbish. Yeah. But at the end of the day, as you said, it's an FAI event. It shouldn't be this hard. We're trying to sell it out. You know, that's been one of the, as you think, we're tweeting there, John, there the last couple of days about one of the goals of the FAI is to
Sell
out the cup final. And what are you going to do?
We are going to get there, but it will be in spite of the FAI. It won't be thanks to the FAI. The boom in attendances over the last number of years has been down to the work of the clubs and I think a bit of post-COVID hunger for getting out to live sporting events. But the FAI have played little to no part in it.
Yeah, I don't see how they could possibly take any credit, to be quite honest. I don't.
We created the atmosphere.
Yes, the famous line. but it's just baffling to see how they could possibly, you know, as you said, take any credit. But to be fair, I don't really see much of that either. But it's also, what are you doing to make it happen? I don't see enough of that. And I don't think it's good enough. And this is just a good example. You know, we finally come around to cup final time toward the end of the season to... you know, big Dublin teams in the final again. And, you know, it's a repeat of the 2021 final. There's a lot of good stories to be told. And I'm not seeing any of it.
No.
And at the very first juncture, days after the semi-finals, there's already a heap of dirt around ticketing.
Yeah.
And it just shouldn't be the case. Like, the FAI filled the tugs again.
This came on the morning of the announcement of Euro 2028, which makes it even more
pathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I know we're going to talk about that. Like, I was following like some of the news about it, and you know they were going on about a 6 million legacy fund.
Yeah, 6 million.
Wait, we hold with 6 million. Like,
Oriel Park needs that nearly just to stay as it is now. Never mind, it's redeveloped.
Yeah,
6 million.
And the Daily Mail is going to cost 42 million. well, that's insanity to begin with. There's nothing that should cost 8,000 seats 42 million. They could be probably the most expensive stadium worldwide per seat. if that's the case. But what are you talking about, legacy and stuff like that? I think Malachy Clarkin had a good article talking about legacy this and legacy that, and there's no legacy going to be had, as a lot of people have pointed out. Casement Park,
that would be the legacy. Nice little, here you go, big cash injection for GA.
Yeah, like it's astonishing stuff that this is looked on as a good thing, particularly when, you know, we're talking about legacy fund and it could be worth up to 25 million for the FEI if Ireland qualify, 15 million if they don't. 15 million, like, to look forward to 15 million coming in 5 years time.
5 years time, yeah. That shows you what a hape it's in.
Yeah, but also we're missing out on a national team sponsor that would be, you know, 5 years of 2 million. That's 10 million.
Yeah.
You know, we've already missed out 3 years of it. So we'll be in and around 15 million by that point anyway. So it seems like, it seems like just a coffer filling exercise than anything.
It's a vanity project. It's a complete vanity project. Look at us. We're the big men hosting a tournament. It's a complete and utter, it shouldn't be happening. I know we had an in-depth chat on this before.
Yeah.
And we both gave our views, but this is totally the wrong thing to be focusing on. With the state of the facilities we have out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see the benefit, to be quite honest. Look, maybe, you know, there's lots of talk, oh, it'll be worth 300 million to the economy, you know, six games, 50 million a game.
Horse racing and Greyhound will get all of that anyway.
Yeah, well, they're getting plenty as it is. They've got a little increase in the budget there yesterday as well, so fair play to them, but you know, they're just better at lobbying. The FA still haven't got that right either.
No.
But there you go. I think I don't see how it can be even that beneficial to the economy. We're not going to get any infrastructure. Like, even forget about football. Like, I don't see how, you know, a few more bus lines for a month. I don't really understand. I don't know. Probably hoteliers will do the best out of it than anybody. I'm not sure.
Honestly, God, when I was reading that email and I seen 6 million, I nearly fell off the chair.
Yeah, yeah.
I could nearly see Oriel from where I was reading, and I was like, 6 million wouldn't do jack to this place.
No, it wouldn't. No.
Anyway, look, I think I've got a good bit off the chest there. I think we'll start to move towards football again now. Actually, before we do that, there is another off-field thing we need to discuss. Cork City today handed partial stadium closure. Drogheda handed an away fan ban, so their fans can't go to their next away game in Talla. We'll start with that one because that's the most mind-boggling one for me. Now, okay. We all seen the loud derby. Lots of pyro been thrown onto the pitch. Apparently, an official was struck. So that is totally, totally, totally unacceptable.
Correct.
And should be clamped down on in the harshest possible manner. But why is Shamrock Rovers essentially been punished for Drogheda United supporters' mistakes? Because let's say they bring a couple of hundred up there, 150, 100. That money's coming straight out of Shamrock Rovers' pocket.
Yeah.
And I'm very sure if I'm a Drogheda fan and I want to rock up to Talla next Friday night or whenever this game is, I'm very certain I'd get a ticket of some description.
No, you would, yeah. Yeah, no issue with that at all. Like, over towards where the away fans would be anyway.
Yeah.
There's always lots of seats just underneath the gantry where the TV camera is. You know, we went to a few games ad hoc out there and never had an issue getting tickets. So I don't really understand it, to be quite honest. It seems like a very piecemeal. It seems like actually someone new is in the FEI. I was like, you know, we're going to start doing a bit here. I'm going to make me mark as a new employee knocking around the FEI. Well, that's the boy that banned a few supporters out of stadiums. Oh my God, he's famous. I don't really know what the point is, particularly, and you know, we said it, I didn't think it'd take this long for the FEI to, you know, have to eat it, but what was it, the end of 2021, where the fan, or where the fireworks were let off in the RSC, and the FEI initially banned spectators at the the league opener, I think it was against UCD.
Yeah,
and then they went back, and I think the fine was 10 grand.
5 grand, I think.
Five?
I think fairly certain, yeah.
Okay, just for argument's sake, let's call it 10 grand.
Okay.
Right, which is nothing in comparison to, like, what they should have done was just let every fan in for free. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So the financial penalty is there. You don't penalise the fans if that's what you're trying to do, because, you know, it's only a small subsection of fans, as it always is. But yeah, to undo that, like, why hasn't that been done for Drogheda? Why hasn't that been done for Cork? Like,
yeah, so look, this is the other big issue. This is the other big issue people have with it. That was a very serious incident that happened in Waterford.
Yeah.
Stadium ban was handed down. It was appealed and the stadium ban was took away, and it was a very, very small fine given the level of severity of the incident. So people have looked at
it. Just before you go, finish on that, right? Yeah. The severity of the incident, right? But they went from, like, a severe penalty.
Yeah, it's enough. No, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. So essentially what should have happened, if we're going on precedent, Drogheda, again, a very serious incident, but theirs hasn't been overturned. I assume Cork might appeal this as well. We'll wait and see. The FAI, and we called it that day, that day that email came out and said penalty took away, no stadium ban. Me and you came on the pod that day and said this was going to hang over the FAI for a long, long time. The next incident that happened, you know, this was going to be a huge problem for them. And they've now reached that point. And I'm not suggesting for a minute that if there's behaviour like we saw in the Louth Derby, it shouldn't be punished. Because we can't, in 10 years' time, be saying, oh, well, this lad hit a lino with a bottle. But remember, 10 years ago, Rovers got their stadium. Yeah. So it has to stop somewhere. And I am fully behind if there's incidents like officials, players, in fact, any sort of object have been thrown on the pitch. Because that's... We talked about it on the pod, I think last season, quite a bit, that it was creeping in. Number of games I was at, I was seeing lighters, coins, stuff like that, been thrown onto the playing pitch. If that's going on, then I am fully behind this sort of thing. But the FAI put themselves in a rock, between a rock and a hard place, by not following through with Shamrock Rovers. And essentially now what happens is, anytime there's any sort of incident, they're going to have to be consistent now and start handing out these punishments on a consistent basis.
Yeah, but that's not good enough, because the first time they did it, they immediately went back on it. So, like, and there was another incident in Drogheda last year where a game had to be delayed for a period of time where an official was struck.
Yeah.
Another Shamrock Rovers incident, unfortunately, and nothing came of that. So, you know, nothing at all, ever. So,
and that was post-Waterford.
That was post-Waterford. That was May or... April last year.
I was at the game. I remember.
Oh, yeah. I was asking Bradley. I was at the Bowes Pats game in Inchicore, and people were getting text messages about it. The game stopped there. I was just like, right, so what's going to happen? And nothing came of that either. Mm-hmm. So, like we'll say, that's two that we'll say FEI have put into the credit column for Shamrock Rovers, and they don't seem to have been swayed on anything that for any other club. So, you know, you can argue, is that bias? Looks like it.
All I say that they've built a rod for their own back.
Yeah, they have, but they did it twice, you know, in the last 18 months or 2 years for Shamrock Rovers. So, you know, I think it's not great. And look, I don't want to go back. I was like, fans shouldn't be entering the pitch either. I know plenty of Bulls fans and plenty of lads will be listening to this. That's unacceptable to go onto the pitch like that twice in one game. Sorry, that's not all right. We've seen players getting bet. You know, what could happen? There's a reason that it's not allowed. And we're talking about player safety, and just because some lad runs round, you know, I don't want to be all hella lovejoy about it either, but, like, who's to say that some ego doesn't run on and give an opposing player a box in the mouth?
I've seen it happen in the UK. But that's what I mean. Like, every single incident that occurs now is going to have to be met with extreme force by the FAI, because otherwise they are going to be accused of a lack of consistency and bias against certain clubs. So, to put a cap on this,
I just to say on that, I didn't see any bold statement about fans entering the pitch either. Where's the statement?
Just to put a cap on this, again, I am fully in support of punishment for clubs and supporters that, you know, jeopardize the safety of players, fellow supporters, match officials, anything like that. So I don't actually have much of an issue with this punishment being handed out, but I do have an issue with why are Shamrock Rovers the ones that's getting punished for an official getting struck by allegedly struck by a Drogheda United fan. And as I said, then there's issues over the consistency of these punishments as well. So look, I'm sure listeners will have their own view on that, but let's try and talk football now at long last, Gary. We'll go to the first division. Actually, no, sorry, there was a couple of games in the Premier Division. We'll start there. I commentated on Drogheda and Derry the other night. Had Paul Crowley, the ex Drogheda and Dundalk midfielder, along me. I have to say, he was a big upgrade on my usual co-commentator.
He was
top class, but thankfully I had him alongside me, because this was a dour game of football. And really, it's a snapshot of everything we've been saying about Derry City this season.
Yeah, well, it's wasn't too surprising this result coming in, to be quite honest. Another opportunity wasted. But look, that's kind of the story of the season for Derry, and they can be licking their wounds now. No cup final, no real challenge on the league. No consistent challenge on the league. So look, it's not good enough. And I know Rory's kind of alluded to it in the post-match interview, but it doesn't really make much of a difference.
Yeah, they didn't do anywhere near enough on the night, and they had 66% of the ball. I don't know how many passes.
Who cares? Together,
but they didn't. Young Andrew Wogan made one save in the first half from Mullen, got down low, made a good save. Aside from that, they hit the post. Sam Todd hit the post with a set piece from a header. Aside from that, Drogheda looked extremely comfortable. And Drogheda weren't at their best. Drogheda sat in. Drogheda should have won it in injury time. Markey won the ball off a Derry corner. Derry committed everyone up by the keeper. And Markey, unfortunately, as he was running forward, you could just see him running out of steam, and he ended up tweaking the hammy. But they should have killed the game. It wasn't in the highlights, amazingly. But yeah, they should have won the game there and then Drogheda. And Kevin Doherty said it to me in his post-match interview. He felt they would have deserved that, because their plan up to that stage was just keep Derry quiet, and then they almost won it at the end with Derry committing everyone forward. And I can't disagree with that. Drogheda had a game plan. They executed it well. Derry, yes, they had a game plan, but they didn't execute it at all, because they created very little genuine chances on the night, despite the quality of player they had on the pitch.
Well, what was the game plan, though?
Pass the ball to death.
Pass the ball around, yeah.
Forest to sleep.
Yeah. Play through the thirds.
I mentioned it on commentary, and Paul agreed with me at the time. In the first half, it was notable that they were trying to spread the pitch as wide as possible. It was like they felt they were lacking something through the middle, or maybe they felt that, you know, obviously Drogheda have the like of Gary Deegan in there, Matthew O'Brien. They were given a really good shield, and maybe they didn't want to try and play through them. So they were trying to spread the ball out to Duffy on one side and out to McMullen on the other. And Drogheda is a narrower pitch than a lot of pitches in the league, but they were trying to spread it as much as they could. But once Drogheda kind of realised, well, that's what Derry's game plan is here, they're going to spread it. They bar one, the Mullen chance I mentioned, where he got the shot in low and Wogan got down and saved. That was the only time Duffy got in behind Heaney and caused any real problem. McMullen on the other side, never really, you know, a couple of half glimpses of, oh, maybe something's going to happen here, but Drogheda very quickly twigged on to what Derry were trying to do, and Derry just didn't really adjust throughout the game. They just kept trying the same thing over and over, and it didn't work. Very one-dimensional.
Yeah, that's disappointing, but look, it's hard to change it after, what, 30-odd games of the same. Yeah. So I'm not really... I don't think you can be too disappointed with Derry's performance, because they've been handing that out all year. It's disappointing. Not really sure, though. Like a lot of work will have to be done in the off season, to be quite honest, because they have to change how their tactics and how they're playing games, because that won't be a runner for too much longer.
No. Right, on the other game, Shells 1, Dundalk 0. Stephen Donnell is reading a piece today in the Dundalk Democrat. He effectively admitted this is the end of their European hopes. And good old Stevie, he is more lock-ins than your local country pub, but he kept them in the dressing room for over an hour again. I mean, he did that earlier in the season up in Richmond. When do you generally hear about this kind of going on? Maybe once every couple of years from a manager. To do it twice in a season,
Did he do it last year as well, didn't he?
Can't remember, but I mean, that loses its effect extremely quickly.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, absolutely. And I think at the time, that's just not acceptable.
Especially at this stage of the season where some lads are coming to the end of their contract. Like, I think it's clear as day Shepherd's on his way. I think his performances have dropped massively over the last couple of weeks. I think he knows his future is away from Oriel Park. There's other players there probably not sure where they're going to be next year. Some of them might want to be there next year. And towards the end of the season, you're getting kept in a dressing room away from home for over an hour, probably getting shouted and roared at, and you're just like, fuck this.
Yeah. Yeah. There's probably players thinking that for a lot longer than that just the end of the season. But yeah, look, just I don't care what Stephen O'Donnell thinks or says or aren't like that. That's not acceptable. As we've highlighted before, people have places to go, homes to go to, pints to be drank. Game's over. Good luck. Get out. There's no occasion for that. Bring them out onto the street if you want to chat to them. Bring them onto the bus. Nothing to do with Shelburne or Talca Park or their staff. That wouldn't be a runner around Bishopsgate, let me tell you.
You'd go in, would you?
I'd be straight in. I'd be straight in. Well, boys, out you go. Straight away. There wouldn't be any of that been tolerated. It's not right. It's not funny. It's not, oh, I'm such a, you know, hard ass manager, blah blah blah, whatever idea O'Donnell thinks that is, it's not a runner. And as you said, it doesn't have the effect that he probably thinks it has. I'm sorry, it just doesn't. When you think of like our lads, like I say, Andy Boyle, how long is he at? I'm like, what age is Andy Boyle? Mid-30s, let's say. He's seen it all. He's not going to start going, Jesus, actually, yeah, I'm here. It's 11 o'clock now, and I'm sitting in my gear, and I haven't had a shower. This is great. This is exactly what I need to be hearing right now after losing 1-0 at Talca Park. No one wants to hear that. Turn the page on the managerial handbook, Stephen, please. It's not good enough.
As for Shell's, another great win for the Duffer. They're
great finish.
Oh, brilliant goal. Brilliant goal.
Yeah.
Jarvis.
Absolutely, yeah.
I asked Damien this after they beat... Did they beat Dundalk? I can't remember. The last time they were in Oriel, anyway, I asked them about Wood and Jarvis, and I just said, you know, Shell's fans will be getting very excited about this partnership with Hull, if this is the level of player they're sending you, because they're unbelievable, these two. You know, Damien, he doesn't give too much away. He obviously praised the two lads that he has and how they've adapted to life in the League of Ireland and all the rest, but he didn't give too much away on what might be coming down the road in terms of other players that Hull might have stored away for them. But as I said, these have been two wonderful additions, two brilliant players. Hard to know whether they'll be there next season. I think Hull are surely keeping close tabs on them, and they'll be getting reports that they're doing extremely well over in Ireland. So
I'd fear that, you know, these players have been told, here, boys, go over here, mix it up a bit, see how you get on. If you do well, you'll be in the whole team. And it's kind of playing out how we were all kind of fearing it would. We have a place for our players to go and get fit and all the rest of that in a different league, for a different club. I'm not really on board with that. Did you? Were you saying Walsall?
Rumors of it. I think we've both said we're not certainly not fans of that multi-club system. But it's going well for Shells at the moment. And there's obviously a lot of rumours, and again, Damien Duff hasn't really bought into these rumours. He's kind of played them down, hasn't he? That recent spat, I suppose, he had with Stephen Bradley. There's a lot of talk about major play and investment at Shelburne next season. If that was to happen, could they be title challengers next season?
Yeah, why wouldn't they be? Here, Damien, we've tripled your budget.
It's still a big jump from how many points are they off? Well, they're probably not that many points off the top at the minute, are they?
Probably 10 or 15 or something, is it?
62. They're only nine points off the top now. They've played a game more, but yeah, I suppose it's not a massive. I mean, we were asking Derry this year to close down what a 13 or 14 point gap from last season and 24 from the season before. So Shells to only cut down, say, you know, maybe a 9 or less point gap between now and the end of the season. I suppose, yeah, why wouldn't they be title challengers next season if they get their business right?
If they get their business right, and look, if they need a goal scorer, that's quite clear. Jack Moylan will have to be replaced as well.
Yeah,
but if they get a good boost to the budget, then sure, why wouldn't they be?
And I mean, the way they play in terms of the defensive structure, you always say about the first division, the best defence usually wins that league. Well, the same is true for the Premier Division as well. And Shells are extremely hard to break down. So if they can just get a clinical striker up there, then they'll have a massive chance of being successful in the coming years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something to be, you know, with Damien as well. Like, he's obviously doing great work. So it has to be in the mix next year. Obviously, look, it'll depend, you know, when we're chatting away in 3 months' time, the business that they do will obviously define it.
Yeah. So they were the Premier Division games. In the First Division, we mentioned at the top of the show, our poor friend Anthony is going to be getting very sweaty over the next couple of weeks. That loan have slowly slipped down that table. They're just clinging into that last playoff spot at the moment, but a home defeat against Bray will really have them worried now.
Yeah, not what you want, is it? Particularly with Bray, actually have turned it around in the last few games, to be fair. Longford playing them on Saturday. But yeah, look, it's not a really poor defending for the goal as well. I was quite disappointed. Yeah, just.
Then again, that was a common theme again across the First Division this week. It has been an incredibly poor standard of the league this season.
Do you think so?
Yeah, incredibly.
Well, you've said it a thousand times, and probably I agree. But
as I said on the pod last week, reaffirming
that, is it?
Like, it's incredible. We could have had a First Division team in the final of the FAI Cup, given how much we've said on the pod this year about the standard. But I mean, as someone that watches this league week in, week out, the level of defending is just absolutely shocking.
Yeah, it's not great. It leaves a good bit to be desired, to be fair. But look, that's part of it. I think from an Athlone perspective, they'll be really disappointed that they didn't manage to score at home against Bray.
Yeah.
You know, who have had
one of the worst defences in the league.
Yeah, an ungodly amount of mistakes at the back. Seems like Ian Ryan has started to get something right for the back four in recent weeks, so fair play to him for that. But yeah, look, I think squeaky bum time is what it's called now for Athlone, but two games left, or three games left.
We will move to Cove 2, Longford Town 0. I didn't see this because I was obviously doing the draw of the game on Friday, but I know a good friend of ours texted and he said he was very disappointed again with the Longford Town performance, that it was very flat. But then I was reading a piece with Stephen Henderson today where he said Longford created more chances than Cove and they just weren't clinical. So look, I didn't get to see him back too much of this game. I just seen the very brief highlights that are out there. I think Jack will be disappointed with the first goal, and then the second goal, I don't know where his back four has gone to. They're gone walkieabouts. But yeah, two defensive, very poor goals from Longford to give away.
Yeah, 100%. Not great, but look, I think coming to the end of the season now, there's probably a lot of tired bodies and minds, and you know, you'll probably get those types of things now that playoffs aren't an option for Longford. So disappointing goals to concede, there's no question about that, but I think that's part of it, and Longford haven't had a great record against Cove this year either. So
no, good result for Cove to bounce back as well from a couple of below par performances. So
yeah, absolutely, definitely on the upward spiral or upward trajectory going into the playoffs.
Kerry 1, Wexford 2. Again, this is a game to watch if you want to know everything that's bad about defending.
Simple as that, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, look, it's some really, really poor defensive actions. Like, I don't even know if you can call them. I don't know what you call them. Like, even Kerry's equaliser, so basic. Really good finish, to be fair, Reece Webb.
Yeah, Kelleher scored it. I think he's up to double digits this season, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, fair play. But yeah, like, you're looking at Webb opening the scoring from like a, what was a cross, managed to
two set pieces that Kerry conceded again, I think, wasn't it?
No, Webb got the ball on the right hand side.
Sorry, I'm thinking of the Treaty's two goals or yeah.
So yeah, disappointing from Kerry again to concede a goal that, you know, should have been done from the cross come shot, but look, that's part of it. But same old story again for Kerry. But yeah, as for Wexford, like, you know, we've said it before, what do you learn beating Kerry? Not a bag. It's when you draw or lose against them is when you learn more about your side. But unfortunately, only Athlone suffered that this season.
Treaty, a win against Finn Harps, and obviously that news that we touched on earlier as well, that it looks like there's going to be a Canadian-based takeover down at the Markets Field.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that news today. Yeah, look.
They've done very well to keep it under wraps. Apparently these conversations, did I read 9 months they've been going on or something like that?
Here's a question for you. I think it was something similar idea was had when Waterford were taking over. What are they buying? Like what are you purchasing, like?
Yeah, you don't own your ground.
Like at least on a ground that's not in Great Neck.
Your purchase in a financial burden, I would imagine.
Yeah. I say, but mostly of Ireland clubs, but like asset wise, you know, there isn't much there other than a license to play football in the league. I'm not really sure, to be quite honest, but look, there you go. Probably a bit early to see because it's only announced there this afternoon. Well, what, the Treaty haven't announced it, have they?
No, it's David just Sneed. Yeah, David Sneed broke it. Good piece of work from him, but I suppose, look, no matter who it is in charge, whether it's these new rumoured investors or whether it's the people running the club at the minute, I think we all know the challenges that face Treaty there. We've talked about it, Tommy Barrett's talked about it with us. I think they have struggled for whatever reason to form an identity within Limerick.
Yeah.
Some people have said that's down to the name. I don't know, whatever. There's a lot of politics in Limerick, as we know. But definitely there is a problem down there at the moment in terms of generating interest. So that's going to be number one objective, I would imagine.
Absolutely. And look, if you have a good backer, and I think a full-time chief executive is going in there, Ciara McCormick, I think. I don't know anything about her, to be quite honest. But look, it is a full-time job to you know, boost the image of the club in the area. So big job on there.
Yeah, but if you have someone full-time looking after that, well, obviously that's not going to be your only job if you're CEO or COO or whatever the role is. But certainly if you have someone there, they can keep their eyes on this thing and just slowly chip away. And, you know, you go into one school 1 week, you go into another week, you do this another week, you just chip away. And it's slow work, but I mean, if you get it right, it can be absolutely huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it's work that needs to be done to you know, to Treaty, because I know there's been always a bit of a row of some description, or someone did said this, or someone said that, I don't like that fella, or something like that, always kind of going on. So but hopefully it'll be positive news, and hopefully it's a long term commitment to Treaty and League of Ireland football down there, but time will tell.
Yeah, very much so. There was something else I was going to say there and I can't remember. Oh yeah, on the game itself. I'm not sure. Not sure it was a penalty, was it?
Yeah, you were saying to me before, that's 100% dive. You're backtracking, eh?
I thought he went down soft all right, but our buddy Mark Ludden tucked it away. He'll have to come on more often.
Yeah, absolutely. He'd be delighted at that. Did someone do that recently as well?
Straight I think we've got a fairly good record. Yeah, I think good record in that regard. So we need everyone to come on and you might get a goal. But they got seconds off a set piece as well. So I suppose Harps would be disappointed to concede those goals. But look, that's why they are where they are on the table. That just leaves the game from last night. Galway 3, Waterford 1. Much smaller crowd than there was at the Cup semi-final. I think quite a bit has been made of that, but look, it was a bit of a dirty owl evening. There's nothing to play for here. I don't know when Galway get presented with the trophy. I'd imagine people will turn out for that. So I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon of hammering them because a few people didn't turn out for a Tuesday night dead rubber.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, they did well to maintain the high standards.
Very much so.
So soon after, you know, the disappointment of the cup final, some of the goals were quite good. Alcrea got one against his former club, so he'd be delighted with that as they win the league as well over them. So yeah, some, you know, just a nice little reminder, I think, for Galway fans. You know, we're number one.
Yeah.
Always good to do that. So look, fair play to them for recovering and responding so quickly. As you said, in a complete dead rubber game.
Yeah. I think we've got
They're not on the beach yet either.
You know, I think we've got a few questions regarding Waterford in the playoffs from listeners later on, but again, I was keeping an eye on kind of group chats and stuff after this result, and again, a lot of Waterford fans are just, they're not convinced with what they've got out of Keith Long so far, but there is another trail of thought that, you know, are they going to be a different machine in the playoffs? So that's what he's going to be judged on, essentially. But certainly his body of work so far, it hasn't been dramatically better than what's gone before. I don't think that's up for argument. Right, let's talk about the first division games to come this weekend. Obviously, there's no Premier Division games with it being an international break, but I do have the latest score from the Predictions League, Gary. I've been keeping up on top of it for once. So we started this sprint to the finish, I suppose, a couple of weeks ago, and that week I came out on top 7-6, and I had a very good week this week. I got 3 correct score lines and a couple of correct results, so I got 12 points, and you got a couple of correct scores as well, but you came out with 8, so I lead 19-14 in the Predictions League going into this week's round of games. We will start with Finn Harps against Athlone. This is the definition of squeaky bum time for Athlone Town. A trip up to Ballybuffet, playoff place on the line.
2-0 Athlone.
Oh, straight in there.
Yeah.
Do you want to give me some logic behind that? What's the thinking there?
Athlone are a better team than Finn Harps. So by that logic, I think they're going to beat them.
Okay.
What are Harps at? Do you know what I mean? Why would they beat Athlone at this, particularly when?
Yeah, I suppose they were very lucky to beat Kerry recently, and then they were beaten by Treaty the other night. I don't know. It just feels like the wheels are coming off of that loan, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But I don't think they're going to come off fully here. I think they might fill the togs against Longford, and that might kill them. But I think Athlone will live to fight another day.
I'm going to go 0-0.
Really?
Yeah. Couldn't score against Bray. That's worrying.
That is worrying, but yeah. I think Harps are considerably worse. So
proper mental test here for Athlone. Up to Ballybuffet. You know, the pressure is on here. They have to come away with something, I would suggest. So I'm going to go 0-0. Treaty against Galway. Obviously, if Athlone do slip up, Treaty could end the night in the playoff places, but they have got to take on the rampant champions, Galway.
This is in
Limerick.
In Limerick.
Canadian flags, will they be flying? The maple syrup and the bacon will be out.
Absolutely. What do you think? Go on, you got all the points last week, so come on.
2 games in a week for Galway. Semi-final only a few days beforehand. Will the game start to catch up with them?
No.
Could they get something here? Oh, no, I don't see it from Treaty. I'm going to go 1-0 from Galway. Don't see this being a classic.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-0 Galway.
Okay. Longford Town against Bray. God, it's a while since Longford won a game. Is it Galway?
Yeah, Galway.
Wow, seems like a lifetime ago.
Honest to God. Disappointing. Last few weeks for Longford Town, of
course. This will probably decide who finishes what, 7th in the league.
Yeah, well, look, you know, after 15 games, you would have thought Longford Town would have finished around that cut anyway. So,
yeah,
I think it was more.
This is the last home game, obviously, we should point out for Longford. So I think they really need, and it's been, I should point out as well, all these first division games at different days, different times, because there's something on this weekend. I'm not sure what's on, but there's something on. Longford against Bray is 4 o'clock Saturday. So look, there's not going to be a big crowd out with this, but the few that will turn out are literally your diehard supporters. And I think the town players need to give them something, send them away with something, because the last few weeks have just been so disappointing and flat. And I just think they need to see a little bit of something here from the players against Bray. So I think they'll get something, but I think it's going to be a draw. I just think Longford season has totally petered out. They've been very, very disappointing in recent weeks, and I find it hard to see them lifting their performance. I think Bray have started to blood a couple of younger players over the last few weeks. They're giving a few young lads minutes off the bench, and maybe that's brought a bit of freshness into the camp. We've seen some positive results from them in the last few weeks, but I see this being a bit of a stalemate. I'm going to go 0-0.
Oh, Jesus, in our last stream of the year.
Yeah, that'll be 3 consecutive 0-0s for me if it stays that way. I did Palace and Forest the other night as well. It was scoreless.
Okay. 2-1 Town.
Okay, give me some goal scorers here.
I think O'Brien Whitmarsh will get one. He hasn't scored in the last little while.
Yeah.
Set up by Christian, and he'll return the favour.
Very
so
good.
One assist apiece.
Very good. Kerry against Waterford. Kerry running out of time to get that second win.
They're not going to get it here.
You don't think?
No, come on. Like,
who's their last game against? Just having a look. Their last game is away to Cove. It's now or never, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, but it's never. Yeah, I'm going to go 3-1 Waterford.
3-1 to Waterford goes Gary Riley. Two under Waterford. Wexford against Cove. Two teams that are safely nestled in the playoffs now.
Yeah, is there any point or any, do you think there's any desire to go, well, let's go hard at this Jack Doherty guy, I don't want to name anybody, but I just like someone gets injured. Or some other crap. I would just live to fight another day with the two of us.
Yeah, because I don't think there's going to be any change in the standings between now and the end of the season. Waterford are safely second. Cove are 5 points ahead of Wexford, so they probably stay there. Wexford are 6 points ahead of Athlone. So I think it stays in the order it's in. So these two teams will be playing each other in the playoffs with the second leg coming in Coleman's Park. So I was going to say, is there a bit of holding back? But you know each other inside out by now. This is going to be your fourth meeting of the season, so there's no point in playing your kids and trying to bluff anyone. But I definitely think it's probably going to be a game not played at a full throttle, let's say. I'm going to go for another scoreless draw on this one.
Yeah, I think so. I'd look to mix it up 1-1.
Yeah, no harm. Right, there's one Premier Division game tomorrow, and that is UCD against Bowes. It's actually quite an important game for Bowes, this.
It's tomorrow, what, Thursday?
Yep.
Oh, but Jesus, it is. In the bowl. Just in my head across to this.
Bring your cash.
Bring the cash.
Yeah, if they win this, they go back above Shells and within 1 point of Pats. So this is very important for Bowes. No slip-ups here.
Do you think we could have a?
I think we could. I think we could.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going for a very low scoring week. I'm going to go 0-0 on this one as well. Just the distraction of the cup semi final. Yeah. 0-0. UCD obviously got a scoreless draw against Rovers recently. Why can't they do it against the Bohemians at home?
I'm going to go 1-1, but I see your. I see your point. I think UCD might score early and Bowes will attempt to pull it out of the fire but not get it fully out. So 1-1. Yeah, I didn't realise this game was on tomorrow. So yeah,
there probably you go. You can thank me for that.
Yep. Oh, I'm on my hands and knees thanking you. Thanks very much.
That's what we all dream of a Thursday night, a trip to the bowl.
Absolutely. Oh, God, yeah. There'll be a lot of football for me. Jesus, even more than normal.
Right, let's move to our listener questions before we wrap things up this week. Pat Mitchell up first, and he's quite a regular contributor, so thanks to Pat. He says, since Waterford drew with Galway in August, they would have been fairly certain they couldn't win the league or even finish below second. Do you think it's possible that since then they have maybe started another pre-season so that they can be in peak condition come the playoffs? I mentioned this earlier, there's a trail of thought that we're going to see a different Waterford in the playoffs. Do you buy into that?
I think, and particularly for us, we saw it before, because, I feel okay talking about, I know I reference Longford a lot on this podcast, but we saw it up close and personal in 2020. Mm. We drove home from that game in Wexford and was like, we're going to get blown apart next week in the playoffs.
Mm.
And we almost did, but we pulled it out with a fire an extra time against UCD and then kind of bet the life out of Galway and
got the job done against Shelves.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that was all down to like a serious operation from
essentially went full time for 2 weeks. Yeah.
So, Waterford are already full time.
Mm. That's why would it have the same benefit? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But how much can they change it?
Yeah.
We're already
like what does another preseason entail? And does it entail running up mountains? You know, you're going to get fairly sick of that fair quick. So, I don't think we're going to see a different Waterford in the playoffs. I think they are what they are. Whether that's enough to get through the playoffs, I think we had. If you go back a couple of months ago, I think people, ourselves included, felt that someone like an Athlone could maybe trip them up. That's obviously not looking quite so good now, given the way Athlone are. Treaty have struggled against Waterford, so I think if they get in, Waterford be happy enough with that. Cove, a little bit inconsistent late, but again, they don't have a huge pile to play for. Maybe they could adopt the type of approach Longford did in 2020. And then the other team in there is Wexford, who I just don't think are good enough to go up this season. So they're still probably favourites to reach that first division game. I'm probably slightly leaning the way of Cork though now. I've changed my tune on Cork a little bit.
Why is that?
Well, geez, they've hired enough staff in the last few weeks anyway. I don't know what was wrong with all these fellas 6 months ago, but
it reminds me of a senior club in a Nothing County. A senior GA club, like, and we have four, you know, eight selectors, three video analysts, strength and conditions. There's literally like two lads per player. Mm. It seems like a very mix them, gather them, whoever's knocking around group. Not the people, but it's just like, throw him in as well.
Sure, look, you wouldn't know. It might add a bit of freshness to the group. I don't think. I thought they did okay in the cup semi-final. I think they've actually been okay over the last couple of weeks. They've missed a lot of chances in games. I think Keaton could be the difference in the playoffs. Obviously, that's quite an obvious thing to say. But I'm probably just leaning slightly Cork's way.
And who do you think is going to get who play them?
Waterford. Cork Waterford.
Yeah, I don't have any faith in Waterford.
Yeah, there you go. Right, let's move on. Mark Murphy. Let me see. Is he a Bulls fan? Yeah, he is, and he's also a Kildare GA man, but we'll not hold that against him. Tickets were a farce for the final. Members of both clubs were supposed to get an hour of pre-sale only for it to be a free-for-all. Then, from what I can gather, if you use the Ticketmaster app and not a specific link from a club, you couldn't see any tickets at all. Absolute joke. Yeah, look, I think we've covered that. David Relihan, will there be time for questions about after the 25-minute analysis and deconstruction of the Netflix Beckham documentary? We don't watch anything non-League of Ireland related, David, but I don't know.
Well, you were commentating on who are the teams?
Al-Nassr and Abha did it. That was a cracking game, actually. That was the best game.
What can I say? I've spent the last week in Germany, so there you go.
Football snobs. Did you watch? You didn't watch the Beckham documentary, no?
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it's very good. It is actually good. I was a big Beckham fan growing up. So, let's see. Sean.
Did you get the hair done like him as well? Did you?
I had the Mohican. On stage, yeah.
Which is a whore. Hope he got better life for it.
I used to get called Shark Boy. I think that was deserved. So,
I hope you're called a lot worse.
Pat's season ticket holder here. Got the link late from the club. Typical Pat. So that's not nice. Sean Pat's, I think, have a great media setup. Anyway, after tickets had gone on general sale, so everyone flapping to get tickets, got tickets over by the corner flag, while people who never go get the singing section where season ticket holder should be, joke. Yeah, look, again, the whole thing was just was an absolute
is that
disaster.
Not managed by... Like, how are Ticketmaster supposed to know who a season ticket holder of St. Patrick's Athletic?
There was specific link sent out that they were supposed to get this hour for the members or whatever, and then this, because of a technical glitch, was cancelled, this free hour.
Right, but I think something needs to be done with the whole link situation, because no one adheres to it.
Mm.
Like, links are just flying around the place nowadays, and... You may remember when Longford...
Oh, I know where you're going, don't worry.
What am I doing?
Longford Bows.
No.
Longford Pats.
Longford Pats there a few months ago.
Yeah.
I put that link, or set up that link for Pats fans, and it's like, if you share this with people that aren't entitled to it, you're only shafting your own fans, your own fellow season ticket holders, your fellow lifelong supporters, to help out some lad who... doesn't have a season ticket or whatever. Now, I know there's a lot of reasons for that, and that's grand, you want to go with your pals or whatever, but these are done for reasons to reward, you know, fans that are, you know, season ticket holders or lifetime or whatever, or Bo's owners or whatever they're called today. So I think there's an issue with that in itself. I don't know how you get around that. Maybe, you know, you have logins and stuff like that, like as if it is Ticketmaster. I know that's more difficult for Leave Ireland clubs, and you're using Future and all the rest of that. I know there's a way around it, but you know, you want everyone to get sorted, but also to get sorted in the right way as well, and that doesn't seem to have occurred here.
Ron Coleman, Galway fan, he's doing a bit of rustling, which we love. He said, should all future FAI Cup semi-finals be held in Galway? That's obviously in response to a lot of Dublin-based supporters, I think, claiming that they should be neutral venues. But do with a few more stewards there in M&DC Park is the only thing I'd say. But I know Ronan is one of them. He was trying to hold back that avalanche of Bo's fans coming at him. So fair play.
Yeah, look, I think there was a... stupid argument in the first place. No, they shouldn't be in neutral venues.
Yeah, as I said, leading into the semi-finals, and I think it was shown again, if you're watching them two games on the telly, the atmosphere was absolutely fantastic. And I think you lose a little bit of that if you start moving games around to neutral venues. And look, 100%. As I said last week, it would have worked in this case because you've got big clubs in it. What's to say a smaller first division club doesn't reach a semi-final next year? Neutral venues then all of a sudden become a bit of a waste. So Paddy, we've got KK or K Keen, Neil Doyle, what was he at? Yeah, he just didn't have a good game at all, did he? But I don't think we should be surprised by, you know, a big game been dominated by talk of referees. It's certainly nothing new in this league or any league. Look at the Premier League, they've got full-time match officials and 10 lads in a VAR booth and they can't get it right. So what hope does the part-time man have, I suppose? But yeah, definitely not his best night at the office. Paddy Walsh, ref in the Galway Bows game, was a joke, was never a red card for Bows, and Galway should have had a penalty at the end. I think the cards were soft. It's never a penalty. I don't want to hear that. Thanks, Paddy, for the question, but not.
Yeah, what about the penalty? There's not enough in it.
They're both pulling and dragging out of each other.
Yeah. Yeah, there was something else, actually, that I don't think anybody has quite a question. I saw a poster there in Galway, Galway United will never die. Jesus, it must be a new fan.
Matthew, has there ever been a League of Ireland referee who hasn't made a blatantly obvious wrong decision in a game this season? I think I've praised a few refs this season.
There were some good ones, obviously we've said it before, the goal for a referee is to be completely anonymous.
That was the next word that was coming out of my mouth. When a ref has a good game, you don't hear about it, because that is literally the goal of a referee, to be invisible on the pitch.
Exactly. So, and
there's definitely been a few, we've been at a few games this season where we haven't mentioned the ref once coming away from it, and that has been a sign of a good performance. So yeah,
but that has been too few and far between at the same time.
Unfortunately,
there also has been some particularly desperate performances. Like, just out of this world bad. So, like,
is the only way, in your view, is the only way to rectify this for the officials to go full time? Do you think that will bring standards up?
I genuinely don't know. I think because of the financial situation of doing something like that is going to be a serious barrier for the FEI. I think
better let us start spending our money so instead of making it so difficult.
I'm not sure. Like, let's say, are we going to hire 10 lads? And then, you know, it's actually not 10 referees. It's 40 refs that we'll need because of lines people and all of that stuff. So let's call it 30 or even 20. I don't know. I don't think that's a runner yet. We're not in that financial situation yet. We can't get a jersey sponsor. I read today that we were initially swimming around the market at 2.6 million and now it's around 1.6 million. We still can't get any bites.
Christ.
Now, I don't know who.
If it comes down any further, we'll sponsor the feckin' thing.
Yes. But I just don't understand it. So what are we trying to I don't know what we're trying to do. Like, are we looking for the payday in 5 years' time with the...
Well, if you can't get a sponsor now with that news breaking yesterday, then I think you can throw your hat at it. But that's quite a vision, isn't it? Between the stripes on the front of the Ireland jersey. Imagine how that would go down in Abbottstown.
Yeah. I think...
We need to make this happen. I think what all of our listeners need to do, get on your phone right now and go to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Pump the money in there and hopefully we'll get about a million and we'll be on the front of the jersey next season. It'll be the best-selling Irish jersey of all time.
It will.
One
goal. Oh, stop. Okay.
Keith Murphy, did we have that one? Neil Doyle had a shocker on Saturday. Every fan and every pundit said it. I think Neil Doyle himself would admit it. It's horrible and shameful that Casper now misses the biggest game of his career due to an inept referee, and surely the rules have to change. So
no, they don't.
To be overturned. No, don't. Well, I think if it had been a straight red, they'd have the option, but two yellows, that's just the way it is around the globe. I'm sorry, but that's just the rules. Paul McCandles, be an interesting game, but can't imagine getting the same attendance as last year. Would like to see Bowes win it through the Derry connection. I don't think you're on the money there, Paul. I think, as we said, 20,000 tickets sold after one very disastrous day of ticket sales already. So I think this could push towards a sellout. Let's see. Never ending. Did Longford fill the togs this year? Once they got a sniff of the playoffs, they collapsed. Why are the refs so bad? Can someone confirm if the assistants are told to not intervene on clearly wrong decisions? Derry lying down for Shams to walk home. So three questions for the price of one there from Never Ending.
Just on the refs. Right.
Yeah.
I obviously will not name the referee, but I'd say most refs would be the same. No referee ever wants to see a linesman put up the flag. They don't want to know about it. Keep that flag down. Don't annoy me. That's the idea. So
it's not a bad way of thinking. Is that something that needs to change within ref culture?
No,
if a fella's trying to bail you out.
Yeah, but he's you see, refs, they have to be. I'm trying to put it.
They need to be the authority.
They need to be the authority. I'm in the middle of the pitch. You know what I mean? I hand out the cards. I send lads off. I'm the boss here.
Mm.
So you need to have. Gary, actually, you got that wrong. You don't want to hear any of that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. The next thing you're second guessing, and then you're going over chatting to him, and you're like, "Well, lad, what did you see? Oh, you're an egot. You saw that wrong. You're actually trying to run up the line." Actually, just if anybody has ever watched a Bayern Munich game, you would have seen the T-Mobile lads. Have you ever seen them in the crowd?
Go on.
So they're lads that like wear white caps and white like ponchos and sit in the crowd and spell out the T-Mobile logo in the crowd, right? And we were like right beside them, so we were very, very close to the pitch. And the, you can see the actual linesman, he, all he was doing was just running down the line and stopping at the end line. It was actually quite funny. He was doing the practicing with the arm up and all of that. But like, I can see why the ref was, a ref would be like, don't annoy me. Don't, you know, stay away from me. I'm here. I'm beside the ball. I should be closer than you. But I think where refs are out of position, you know, the linesman should be more vocal about, well, I'm closer. And that's often where you'd see, and I'd be a big complainer of this, is where a challenge occurs 5 yards in front of the linesman. The ref is 50 yards away or 30 yards away, and the lines person doesn't do anything.
And I do think that's a big complaint from League of Ireland fans, that the assistant referees aren't, they don't seem confident enough at times, or whether, as this has been suggested here, is that a directive? I don't know.
I don't think it's a directive. I think it's like a directive between the refs.
Yeah,
refs around. No, but arson around before a game and going, well, you know, what do you want and how do you think about this and what do you think about that? I think the more would be probably better off. And the other thing is, the refs are always talking.
Yeah.
You know, there was some VAR incident, I think, a couple of weeks ago in the Premier League, something, a lot of crying about it. And you could put on the audio, there were, you know, there's a lot of conversation, but like, there's nothing but talking, you know, play, 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 he's on, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Play, play, play. There's a lot of stuff like that. That's like just keyword talking. And there was another one where I think some Chelsea lad got sent off and the ref was initially happy with it. And they were like, oh no, that's a foul, man. So, like, you can clearly see that, like, the ref probably wasn't in the perfect position to see that. Someone else was, and that's where the whole council of refs will say within a decision can, or within an incident can make a decision.
Anyway, enough about refs tonight. Did Longford fill the togs?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah.
You do, yeah.
Well, like, what happened between Galway and Kerry?
Yeah, that's the big question.
I'd love to know.
That is a big question. So would I. Yeah. And the last one, Derry lying down for Shams to walk home.
Yeah. They've been lying. They've been in various states of being horizontal all year. I'm very disappointed. I'm not very disappointed. I'm just a bit annoyed, really, about Derry, simply because the number of times they never made Shamrock Rovers sweat at all. So many opportunities for them to do so, and they just, you know, we won't do it. And it's just disappointing. And like, I don't, you know, and you said it on a podcast earlier on the season, like, playing through the thirds and the possession, you know, we dominated the ball and all this other rubbish that actually is totally, totally, totally meaningless. Nobody cares how many thousand passes you made. And you know, we're talking again, and that, you know, and I know we're coming on to Ireland now in a minute, but like, we're talking about,
thanks, because I was actually about to hit end record, but yeah, go back.
but like, we're talking about, you know, I'm not Stephen Kenny, not, you know, I'm going to the games, so I need to be a bit more positive about the doom and gloom. But like, at the same time, we can't have 1200 passes against Gibraltar and it'd be 1-0.
Yeah.
That's not tolerable. Because it means it was a really, really bad game. And on one hand, we're talking about we're playing much better football, but we're still
no, we're
dying.
Not.
No, but that's the narrative.
Yeah.
And we're trying to put going, but we still can't do a job in Gibraltar. So is it better football? No.
No. Come here. I was on Ireland. I was writing a piece today, and I was talking about how again, this is another. It's been a common theme and trend throughout the Kenny reign. The next game and the next window was always bigger than the one before. We always get this thing about how the next game is the one that's going to decide Kenny's, you know, reign and all the rest. And I think for everyone, the game in Athens was the game that has done irreversible damage to Stephen Kenny. But let's say they win on Friday against the Greeks, then they should win Monday against Gibraltar, and they go to Amsterdam and they get something out of that game and they finish third in the group. Would there be cause for Stephen Kenny to stay on as Ireland manager if he finishes behind the two of the top teams in Europe?
I think, yes, there would be. I think the issue is, though, I think the point about irreversible damage is yeah, important. Like, let me just get up the table here now. So, in a two-horse race, like, Ireland beat Greece. Yeah. If they finish third, there's no shame in it. But I think that that would have been fine if we had beaten Greece in Athens. And we would have been talking about a totally different conversation today, looking into Greece again. I think the manner in how we lost that, and you know, I've been quite hard on Keith Andrews without really knowing anything. I'm just not happy about Keith Andrews, right? I don't see what he's doing. And he came out there yesterday or the day before shouting on about Gus Poyet was talking to some fella about the Ireland team, and that's how what was that?
Crazy.
What?
Crazy, I couldn't believe. Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Might as well have rang us, Gus Poyet.
Honest to God.
He would have got the same shite.
Yeah, exactly. But what are you talking about, man?
Yeah.
What are you saying? You were done up by some Irish fella that told Gus Poyet about how Ireland play.
Some lad sitting in a pub in
in
Athens on his holiday. Yeah. Well, lad, what do you know about Kenny's Ireland?
Yeah, Gus Poyet walks in a long jacket and a hat, puffing a fag in the corner. What do you think, boy? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And look, while we're on the topic, what are the FEI media team doing? How has this been let go on? But it's pure tinfoil hat stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is. And I couldn't believe it was allowed to be said. But look,
I think the...
Let me put it like this. If we get 7 points from the three games, regardless of where we finish,
you'd be happy enough.
No, I'm asking you. Would you be happy?
I think the damage is done for me.
Yeah.
And that's coming from ultra Stephen Kenny fan at the start. Started to lean a little bit away from that before Athens, I totally flipped. Right. And I'm going to find it very hard, I think, to get back on the side. I think what's saving them at the moment, obviously, is the FAI's financial situation. Anyone I speak to, I say, I don't think Kenny should be the Ireland manager. And they say, well, who's going to replace him? And that is the problem. Now, that shouldn't be enough to keep him out of the job. As we said before, we're only two eagles talking on a podcast. Mm-hmm. We don't have a network of, you know, knowing all the up-and-coming managers in Europe or anything like that. You know, that's the FAI's job. That's why you're in the job there. You need to pick the right men to do the right job. I don't think it's Stephen Kenny. It is hard to say, but who it is, I don't know. But that's not my job, and it's not the job of supporters. Just because a supporter can't come up with a viable replacement for Stephen Kenny doesn't mean that the FAI can't. So,
I do want to say, though, I haven't seen, and it'll probably come up now within the next week or so, regardless of the results. So what's Lee Carsley at?
Yeah, it's gone very quiet.
Thank God. Thank God it has. I'm absolutely delighted with that.
Why is that?
Because it was like, no one was talking about Lee Carsley before any of this, before the last 6 months. I didn't hear one word about Lee Carsley.
He won the under-21 championship with England.
I don't care. That's nothing to do with it, right? But like, suddenly now, Jesus, he's a lad that played for Ireland. We'll get him in. As if, like... I'm convinced that it was just some ego that was like, scroll down through the, Kevin Caban, no, he's doing media. No, Roy Keane, Damien Duffy, he's doing okay with Shelburne. We can't do another League of Ireland. Oh, Lee Carsley.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. What about him? Jesus. And they went on to his Wikipedia page and was like, he's under 21 England manager. Oh, nailed on. And it just sort of grew legs from there. No is the answer there. I don't really know. As I said, I've maintained this. It's not my job to replace Stephen Kenny. I do want to roll that back a bit, though, because it's been a month. When were we in Athens during the summer? You were over in France.
Mm-hmm.
I think now it's time that we have to look beyond Stephen Kenny. And now it is time probably for... because I think more and more people are in the Stephen Kenny can't go any further. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now it's up to go, right, well, who are we getting in instead? I think that's more obviously a more difficult question, but it's the one that we need to start contemplating. Who that is.
Yeah, final word on the pod this week. Predictions for the two games. Greece have only won one game since they beat Ireland, but that was against Gibraltar. Ireland can be difficult to beat at home, but...
Evan Ferguson to score, and Schmodic. What's his new boy? What's his name?
Sammy Schmodic.
Yeah. He's going to get one. Evan Ferguson's going to get one, and we're going to win 2-1.
2-1, and then will we pump Gibraltar, or will it be a...
No, it'll be 2-0 or something like that. I'm looking forward to the trip, but like I'm not looking forward to the game.
Same as that. I was over at one of these games before and bored me to sleep. And I think Ireland won 4-1 that night or something. But they actually played shite as well. Gibraltar were unlucky not to score a few. So yeah, I'm the same as you. I'm not looking forward to the game at all. I'm looking forward to the trip. But look, that's been the way, I suppose. We've been on plenty of away trips now. We I think you always know you're not maybe going to always enjoy the football, but we generally have a good time. So, look, that's where
we got Amsterdam done as well. So that's look forward to too.
Yeah, I'll have done every game in the campaign, so happy enough with that.
Oh,
so.
Fair play. you got Disneyland in as well. So
I did, yeah, top campaign. Look, we're back. What Wednesday? What time are we landing Dublin Wednesday next week?
Oh, I don't know, lad. Just money back myself.
Hopefully we're back afternoon and we might get the pod done again Wednesday evening. But we might bump into a few listeners. We generally do on these away trips, which is always great. So if you see us, come over and say hello. Until then, thanks for listening to this week's pod and we'll be back again at some stage next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.